A very good morning. So today we will complete this physics of this model that I introduced last time, and then go on to Bose-Einstein condensation and superfluid helium 4. So if you have any questions based on what I spoke yesterday, please feel free to ask me. So essentially what I did yesterday was to model interacting protons or hydrogen bonds in ferroelectrics, because they undergo cooperative order at low temperature, and we want to model it in the simplest possible way, following the spirit of Einstein, who modeled lattice dynamics by just collection of harmonic oscillators, and he was interested in specific heat, not in any other important quantities. Now we are interested in phase transition and cooperative phenomena. So we came to the conclusion that there are some heavy atoms, could be the phosphate groups. So for practical purposes, you can freeze their position, and then in between there is this proton attached to the oxygen group. So this proton can be here or it can be here. So there are two possibilities. We just look locally, it looks as if proton is sitting in double well potential. So this has, of course, many, many states, like harmonic oscillator states, but we will focus on the lowest nearly degenerate state and ignore the high energy states. So that physics is represented by a term which was called the transverse field, which essentially says, when you rewrite it in terms of SA plus, it tells you that a proton here can spontaneously tunnel to this. So this is just a statement about tunneling of proton between these two levels. So this is the energy of the hydrogen bond locally. Then we also said that two neighboring hydrogen atoms want to make sure that there is a repulsion when there are two protons, for example, attached to this big unit. So that is encoded here. So it says that, so in our language, the Sz plus 1 corresponds to this configuration. So this favors the two protons to be on the right hand side simultaneously or on the left hand side. That's the meaning of this ferromagnetic exchange interaction. So you will solve this problem in the tutorial in detail and reduce it to a fermion problem, where you will see beautifully Majorana fermions emerging as edge excitations. Now that involves series of mathematical transformations. Firstly, going to a basis in which you make the transformation that S is equal to S. Some Sx, because it's convenient to do the Jordan-Winkler transformation. I will not go into the detail now because you will see it in detail. But at the end of the day, there is a pleasant surprise that the Majorana fermion, in the fermionic language, looks very local. But the Majorana fermion in the spin language or in the proton language is very non-local, and it's like a Schrodinger cat. That's what I'm going to discuss a little bit. Please think about it. So what you find is, as I said, we had this phase diagram. Suppose you have G normalized to J. So when G is 0, you have a gap for the excitation spectrum. And then when G is also very large, the sun convention is minus here, there is a gap for the excitation spectrum. We said that in between, that gap vanishes at a critical point, which corresponds to G by J equal to 1. All these things are exactly derivable for this model, as you will do it and enjoy it later. Now I am going to discuss this extreme limit. In fact, you will see in this case in which G equal to 0, this corresponds to very straightforward Ising model in which all the ground state spins can be up, all the spins can be up or down. That is a ground state. When you come from the fermionic language, what you will find is, you will find that there are two degenerate ground state. Which are possible states. But normally, when you do with classical Ising spins, you do not think about this coherent superposition. Suppose you have an Ising ferromagnet. So, the probability that all the spins will quantum mechanically tunnel to this and form a coherent superposed state like this is very small. But however, in this model, when you approach it from fermionic language, you will find that these are all the two ground states. Now, you will find that in the fermionic language, this corresponds to two sharply localized Majorana mode here, one here and one here. And you are all familiar with fermions, electrons, for example, the tight bending model. For example, if you have an electron in a hydrogen atom, you know, you can write it in terms of second quantized notations and so on. So, I assume that you all are all familiar with second quantized notation. So, let me say I have a fermion operator at site. And it turns out you can write it formally as sum of two operators. So, it is a complex fermion. So, it is then we know the commutation relation of C operators, anti commutation relation. So, and you know also that this describes a Fermi oscillator which has just 1 degree of freedom. There are two states. A Fermi oscillator corresponds to 0 occupancy or occupancy 1. Now, you have introduced two new particles, A and B, which are called Majorana fermions. They are called real particles. Now, formally, if you want to associate a Hilbert space dimension to this, what will it be? That is where some funny thing happens. Hilbert space dimension of fermion operator is 2, because occupancy can be 0 or 1. That is the two-dimensional Hilbert space of the Fermi oscillator. Now, if we say that this is composed of two other particles, which we call as Majorana Fermi particle, Majorana fermions, the dimension has to be so just by counting, if I have something which is integer dimensional Hilbert space, then it has to be irrational dimension. Now, you may wonder what it is. And what is remarkable is that this is experimentally seen, because you all are familiar with fractional charges in the context of quantum Hall effect. It is electrons organized into some lumps in which locally the charges looks like 1/3 or 1/5 and so on. Here, the electrons organize in such a way, these fermions interact and organize in such a way that this has Hilbert space dimension half square root of 2 and this has also square root of 2. Now, how, when can I see this? So, the way that I have defined these fermions, this A's and B's are on the same side. Suppose I can stretch them, I can keep A on this end and B on this end. Suppose I do that, then the total Hilbert space of the system is 2, because I have, if you forget about what is in between, I have a square root 2, square root of 2 here, the total dimension is 2. However, if I measure locally, like specific heat, then entropy counting will give me half log 2 rather than log 2. And that is experimentally seen in something called a Kondo, two-channel Kondo effect. So that's a mystery of quantum physics. While the Hilbert space dimension of the many particle system is integer, you can create locally situations where the Hilbert space dimension is irrational like this. And this is now naturally this is, it's not obvious that how this is related to the Schrodinger cat. In fact, this I will leave as an exercise for you to think about and convince yourself. So these are all mysteries of this Majorana fermion, which comes when we start from Einstein solid and generalize it to this and then through Jordan Magnetic transformation. So this is what I wanted to tell you today. Then once you do this exercise in the problem solving session, you will appreciate more about it. Because if I go into it, then it will take time. So if you have any questions here, I will go to the next part. Then there are, let me, since I'm also giving some general idea about what's going on, even something more remarkable happens. These Majorana fermions, when you take them around, they move in some Hilbert space, they pick up an unusual phase factor. As you know that if you have two fermions and look at the wave function, then interchange the coordinates of two identical particles, the wave function changes sign. Whereas with respect to Majorana fermion, if you manage to do that, you'll pick up I rather e to the power of I pi rather than minus 1 I e to the power of I pi by 2 rather than minus 1 or plus 1 like a boson or a fermion. So that's where they become what are called semions, and various things are possible, including famous quantum computation via braiding due to Kitaev. So I have no time to go into that. These are all beautiful things that are discussed in the paper that I was referring to, Lawman and Kitaev. And also, Kitaev has a very delightful paper in Annals of Physics. Where he talks about some of these things. I don't remember the exact reference for quantum computation and so on. So the fascinating thing is, while we start with integer dimensional Hilbert space, you can create locally, you can create a highly entangled situation like the Schrodinger cat state, where locally the Hilbert space dimension may look like square root of 2. Not only that, there are other situations where the Hilbert space dimension is even more irrational, involving golden mean and so on. So they take you to so-called non-abelian anions. So there is a whole lot of things that you can branch into, starting with this simple model. Then while preparing for this lecture, I came across a very interesting paper by this gentleman from Harvard. Sorry, please pardon me. Okay, I will give you the reference tomorrow. So this is called quantum icing spin. The paper that I'm referring to, I forget the name of the author, is that everything can be derived from quantum icing spin. So this is a one-dimensional model where you can play with it. You can do similar thing in higher dimension, and very important models which are important in the modern context of quantum matter can be essentially derived from quantum spin chain kind of models in higher dimension. I thought I will give the reference, but I don't know where I wrote it. Okay. So this is one thing. Then I briefly alluded to this E8. Coming in a, Emily has put it in the website, these two papers, one paper by Zomologico, where what he does is, he tries to solve this problem by adding a longitudinal magnetic field Longitudinal means he applies a field in the z direction. Here is a transverse field, this is a longitudinal field. Turns out, once you add this, it is not exactly solvable. You cannot do the Jordan Wigner trick, because when you try to do Jordan Wigner trick, you will find that this operator becomes a string operator. So, it is no more a local operator. So, that makes life complicated. But however, using his conformal field theory insights, Zhomolodchikov looked at this problem at this point and said that addition of this field still makes it integrable model. So, he says it's the problem becomes integrable, and then there is a powerful group theory behind it, namely E8 group. Honestly, I don't understand that, but since many of you are familiar with E8 group, you may like to enjoy this paper. And what is fascinating is condensed matter, you know, is very kind and it seems to realize this in some system. So, there is a paper which you will find in the Emily has put it there, called experimental realization of E8 group. So, briefly, I have no time to go into the mathematics, because it is something that if you are familiar with conformal field theory and integrability, you can follow through it. And it is a conjecture. It is a conjecture by Zhomolodchikov. It is not exactly proved, but there is an experimental proof in some sense. So, the idea is that once you have apply a magnetic field, there is a gap in the excitation spectrum, and then below that some series of bound states are formed. So, they are called like mesons. So, essentially these bound states correspond to bound states between domain walls, because if you have a ferromagnet, you can imagine a situation in which all spins are down here and spins are up here. It is a pair of domain walls, and these domain walls interact in a very complicated way through this term, and they lead to some bound states. So, you can imagine this as a topological object, domain wall, anti-domain wall, and they form bound state. And what is interesting is this energy level spacing of these bound states, Zhomolodchikov conjectures based on this his notion of exact integrability and S matrices is connected to golden mean and so on. So, there are about 8 particles, you call 8 mesons, and then they have a particular structure. It is all a conjecture, and it is for you, for example, if you prove that conjecture, it will be a very important contribution. So, I just wanted to point out how from Einstein oscillator you can go to this, and then you immediately jump to the world of E8. Yes.
What is the word for the bound states?
Mesons.
Mesons.
Yeah. Like, you know, mesons are quark antiquark pair.
Okay.
So, that is a fancy name for it. So, here what you have is like if you take, for example, if you look at from this end, all states are for the ground state corresponds to ferromagnetic order, and I can create an excitation in which I create two domain walls. For example, I can flip one spin. Then you can call it as two domain wall. Then this can separate by series of spin flips. So, these are all elementary objects or topological objects in an Ising model. And this extra term and this term introduce quantum fluctuations and dynamics to these domain walls, and also interaction among them. They lead to some bound states, which is very specific, and which that bound state can be calculated. Zhomolodchikov conjectures the S matrix for that, and there are poles for that, which is related to SU E8 group. In fact, I spent 3 months trying to understand it long back, about 5-6 years ago. I don't understand it. So, it is worth, you know, attempting how E8 group, which is supposed to be something called exceptional group, among the groups is one of the monster groups. And in fact, there was some report. Mathematicians, you know, they collaborate whenever there is a big problem. So, they have to find all the irreducible representations of this Lie group, and apparently hundreds of mathematicians all over the world collaborated and finally found it. They compared it with Human Genome Project. Remember, in Human Genome Project, the first time when PCR reactions were done all over the world, finally they found. So, this is comparable to that. And imagine that sitting in a quantum Ising chain model. So
this method, it works for all combinations of couplings?
No. So this E8 group on its own, it's a very, like if you have SU2 D group, you have various representation, spin half, spin three. So similarly, if you look at the representation of E8 group, that's very big. So that needs a lot of collaboration globally, and people have found it. Irreducible representation, character table, and everything. So it was a collaboration as big as Human Genome Project in the world of mathematics. So there are many, many anecdotes. So I still don't understand what is this. But then there is also.
Was this solution, it would work for any lambda j and g?
Yeah, right. So this will work when g equal to j, that is sit at the critical point, which corresponds to the Onsager's IC model at the critical point. Then you apply an external magnetic field. Then it polarizes the spins. Then the corresponding quantum transverse model, in that model, there is a gap opened by the longitudinal field. And then below the gap, there are bound states, which corresponds to these bound states. And in understanding and classifying them, E8 groups comes in a fundamental way. So, yeah, that is the story. Okay. So let me, just as a side remark, because since many of you know what, can somebody tell me what is an E8 group? Because yesterday you raised the hands and you are familiar with it. If I am challenged to define it, I will find it hard to define. Please help me.
The biggest exceptional group.
What is exceptional about it? Okay. So I know SU2, I know U1. If you press me hard, I can understand SU3. How does this exceptional group? And also, supposed to be something to do with a lattice in 8 dimension, and then there is a Coxeter thing, various thing, and then there are pictures of corresponding to characters and so on. Maybe one of you can give a half an hour presentation in one of our tutorials about exceptional group. Because I'm coming from a condensed matter background. This is really, it's exceptional to me. I've never come across something. SU2, SU3 is understandable. It's there in various, even in quantum matter, emergent SU2 gauge fields are there. SU3 gauge fields are there. But E8, this is the first time. It's coming in a beautiful way through this solvable model. So please think about it, one of you enlightening the group here. Okay. Now I will shift on to my next thing, namely Bose gas, Bose-Einstein condensation, and superfluid helium 4. This is again a very fascinating system. All the inspiration came from experiment to begin with. Of course, the first experiment was black body radiation. Planck hypothesized the Planck energy quanta, and then he wrote down the Planck distribution by hand. Now he just said, this is the distribution. Then later, 1924, S.N. Bose, sitting in Calcutta and Dhaka at that time, gave a derivation for this, and he sends it to Einstein, saying that here is a derivation. Einstein is extremely impressed by it, and he translates it and publishes it, and then he takes one step further. See, he says photon gas has no chemical potential. The number is not well defined. He says, suppose there is a reason for having a finite chemical potential. There is some bosons which are material particles, and then the number is well defined. Then if I do canonical thermodynamics or grand canonical thermodynamics, I'll introduce chemical potential. So what Einstein did was, he just went one step further, worried about finite density of these bosons, non-interacting bosons, and also that means there is a finite chemical potential. So that was a very important step, which brought in what is called Bose-Einstein condensation. It says phase transition coming because of statistics. If you take a Fermi gas, as you know, there is a Fermi distribution, you have finite number of electrons, there is no phase transition as a function of temperature. At very high temperature, it becomes classical. In between, there is a scale of degeneracy temperature. At low temperature, it becomes a Fermi distribution. Whereas Einstein found, when you have a collection of bosons, there is a Bose-Einstein condensation. And it's remarkable, Einstein's entire, so as you know, that when you do grand canonical ensemble, you know the distribution of bosons. So you sum over all the modes, this will be the number, and then there is a chemical potential. This has to be determined. Einstein had the insight, said if you do this problem carelessly, you will miss the Bose-Einstein condensation phenomenon. What he said was, you have to separate out a term corresponding to k equal to 0 or zero momentum state and sum over the rest. So the total n number of particles is equal to some n naught, which is the number of particles in zero momentum, which becomes a function of temperature. So this is a story that you must have learned in your quantum statistical mechanics course, that there is a macroscopic occupation of zero momentum state, which is a function of temperature. It vanishes at a transition temperature, which is called Bose-Einstein current. And this Bose-Einstein TC can be just gotten from dimensional argument, the scale of it for the coefficient. So this is what, so the question is, what is going on here and how is it related to real Bose system like liquid helium 4? And it's amazing that London, so this is one thing, that is Einstein had done this and it was lying there. Then there was a discovery of superfluidity in helium 4. And F. London looked at that problem. He said it is connected to Bose-Einstein condensation. It was a very bold hypothesis at that time. Because if you look at liquid helium 4, it's a very strongly interacting system. And if you look at the phase diagram, you all know the phase diagram of liquid helium 4, pressure as a function of temperature. And liquid helium 4 is the only liquid which never solidifies as you go to low temperature. You have to apply some pressure, like about 25 atmosphere, to solidify it. So which means the quantum fluctuations are so strong, all the Einstein theory of solid, everything fails, and you have always a liquid. And that's where you have this. So there is a critical temperature below which liquid helium 4 becomes a superfluid. This is something that you know. This is a superfluid phase. When you apply pressure about 25 atmosphere, it becomes a crystal. And there are many mysteries associated with it, because the slope has a minimum here related to saying that liquid in the ground state at zero temperature is more ordered than a crystal, a solid. It's also it follows from Clausius Clapeyron equation from the slope. So then what is the nature of the order? So is macroscopic occupancy in a single quantum state an order? The answer is going to be yes. That's what London pointed out. There is some rigidity of the wave function and there is an order in momentum space. So that is, in fact, the idea came from London. He said, in a crystal, there is order in real space. There is a periodic arrangement of atoms. Whereas in superfluid helium 4, there is order in momentum space. Whatever it is, you will see that it has consequence in terms of off-diagonal long-range order and so on. So this is now one of the bold things that London did was, see, London took the expression for transition temperature as given by Bose-Einstein statistics, and it is 2 pi by so if we solve Bose-Einstein condensation formula and find the analytic expression for TC, it is this. This is some, it is related to Riemann zeta function evaluated at some value, some number which is about 2. N is the density of atoms and m is the mass of the atom, Planck's constant. So this is the formula. And what did London do? London put the mass of Bose helium 4 atom and the density gotten from experiments, and he found a KBTC, the TC which is about 3.1 Kelvin. So this was a remarkable agreement, because Einstein found Bose-Einstein condensation in the absence of interaction between bosons, just a purely kinematic effect, quantum phase transition, or the that phase transition purely kinematic following from the Bose coherence and so on, no interaction. And here you have liquid helium 4, which is very strongly interacting, because if we take liquid helium 4 and if you look at helium 4 atoms, the potential looks like this between two helium atoms. There is a short range repulsion and there is an attraction and there is a minimum. So they are very dense system, and how come the Bose-Einstein condensation temperature as obtained from free Bose gas works so well, because the TC seen experimentally is about 2 Kelvin. So there is, that means London realized there is some truth in the Bose-Einstein condensation phenomena. Okay, now that is the early time. Now things have improved a lot, because there are lots of experiments, neutron scattering and so on. So let us find out from neutron scattering results what is the value of the occupancy at zero temperature in the zero momentum state. Now if you take Bose-Einstein gas at t equal to 0, all the particles are in zero momentum state. Now, what is remarkable is when you do the experiment for helium 4 and extrapolate it to very low temperature, what you find is neutron scattering, you find only 10% of the particles are sitting in zero momentum. All the other particles are undergoing virtual fluctuations and moving around. So, it is no more a very simple state, it is a correlated state in which some set of particles are sitting in zero momentum, the rest are running around. So, I am saying it in words. Now, I will go to description in terms of wave function and also in terms of a theory. How many of you have done Bogoliubov theory of weakly interacting Bose gas? You have not done that, okay. Then I will do that. So before I do that, let me motivate it through variational approach. So this is a very, very powerful approach in many body theory, which was used in a great way by Feynman in understanding liquid helium 4 and many others. Very simple heuristics, very simple argument can you give you deep insights into what is going on. So let me write down the wave function of n bosons in the ground state. Let me put the particles in a periodic boundary condition. So the n particle wave function, can somebody guess what is the form of this? Suppose I have, let me say I take a circle, I put bosons in a circle. So it is simply because every particle is in zero momentum state, a particle in a momentum state q will be, this will be the wave function of a single particle state. Now every particle is in zero momentum state, so there is no coordinate appearing here. So no wave function can be simpler than this. Yes.
You call this method?
Sorry?
What's the name of the method? You mentioned like a name.
Variational method.
Variational.
Sorry for the accent. Yeah. So variational method. So now it's very interesting. There is no coordinate dependence of the wave function. So it's like an ideal gas. So whatever may be the configuration of the particles in real space, in the 3N-dimensional configuration space, the wave function has same amplitude, same number. So this is a remarkable boson coherence, which will have profound consequences, including superfluidity, flux quantization, and so on. So this innocent-looking wave function carries a lot of information about the physics that's going to come. Okay, now I have, this is a wave function for Bose-Einstein gas. You all agree, now if you want to write down an exercise, what will you do? I'll take one particle and put it in some momentum state Q, and then of course I'll have to symmetrize it, because these are all Bose particles. Now this is automatically symmetrized it, because there is no R dependence, so any change will not do anything. So I'll leave it as an exercise. Suppose I have one particle which is moving with momentum Q, how will you write it down? So please symmetrize it and you will enjoy it. Okay. Now I am going to put some physics. Okay. Now I know that this is a wave function. Now I want to introduce the effect of interaction on these wave functions. So one simplest approach will be, I will say that whenever two particles approach shorter than this distance, the wave function has to vanish. Okay? That's something that I can put by hand. So what I will do is I'll replace this wave function by what is called Jastrow function. So what I do is I say that I pick up particle I and j, and then and in particular, I say that this function f of r, something like this, when rij is large compared to the interparticle distance, the function is 1, constant. Then when they approach close by, the wave function vanishes. So I'm not solving the problem, I'm just inputting some physics. So this is a very powerful wave function, which is almost like a Nobel Prize winning wave function. So here what you find is the wave function vanishes . So I have not even given you the form of f. This is a function that will be optimized by minimizing the energy, kinetic energy, interaction energy, and so on. So that's the spirit of variational wave function. So I've given you a wave function in which the function f is a variational function. I can parameterize it in terms of one parameter, one or two parameters, by putting asymptotic values, but just formally I have given this. Now, the way I have chosen this function, it respects permutation symmetry, because all pairs occur. So in any interchange, and f is an even function of rij, it depends only on the modulus, only on the distance, so it is a perfectly anti-symmetric wave function. Okay. Now, if you evaluate what is the content of particles in the zero momentum state, you can evaluate it from here. Because here it was obvious, because I had put every particle in zero momentum state. Here it's obvious that when two particles come nearby, the wave function vanishes. So that means there has to be contribution from higher momentum.
Are these sort of like hardcore bosons?
Sorry?
The way you're treating them now is sort of like hardcore.
Yes. So it's like a hardcore boson with a soft core. So what Emily is asking is, you can imagine a potential which goes to infinity below some length A naught. So they're called hardcore bosons. Now, how do I deal with hardcore bosons? Again, the same problem comes. So in fact, in many of the approaches for helium-4 is assumed to be a hardcore boson. there is a repulsion, infinite repulsion below some level, and then they are bound because I put them in a box. Even that is a non-trivial problem. Okay. Now I have just written to you, now from this many things can be drawn. So if I take this F, now I want to evaluate what is the occupation of particle number or particle number in zero momentum state, and it is a non-trivial task. It is obvious here, but here it is not obvious because this sum over all the n particles, and so in general, so now let me, to make it familiar, rewrite this as okay. So, what have I done? I have not done anything. I have simply rewritten the wave function like a Boltzmann factor, right? Because it is f r I j. So, every pair occurs. So, this is how classical Boltzmann factor will come. And what is f? So, it is like e to the power of minus log of, and with dividing by some effective parameter. So, evaluating averages with respect to this many body wave function or a Jastrow wave function is like evaluating averages with respect to some classical partition function in which particles have some effective interaction V at some effective temperature T. So, now what I am coming to is this problem of understanding quantum fluctuations in interacting bosons in the zero temperature looks like studying classical liquid at some effective temperature with some effective potential. Yeah.
So, what was the name for this wave function?
Sorry?
You said that there was a name for this wave
function? Yeah, sorry. Jastrow. Jastrow wave function. In fact, I will tell a story about this Jastrow wave function later when I come to electron problem. This was introduced by Chandrasekhar, S. Chandrasekhar, in the context of astrophysics. And some people use called Bijl Jastrow function. But it is popularly known as Jastrow wave function. You are all familiar with Laughlin wave function. For example, in fractional quantum hall effect, the Nobel Prize winning work, Laughlin wrote down a wave function of interacting electrons in two dimension in the presence of strong magnetic field. So, that got him Nobel Prize, and that Laughlin wave function also is a Jastrow wave function.
How's the VTO dot?
Sorry?
How's the potential?
So, okay. So, let me do it to the. So, I write F as e to the power of log of f, right? And then I multiply this by a kbt tilde and divide it by kbt tilde and put a minus sign. So that is the relation between, and now this will be called the potential that I have written here. So I am just rewriting it, that is all. Rewriting something. Now, associating some quantum temperature. So, what is interesting is, as far as bosons are concerned, it looks as if quantum fluctuations can be treated to some extent using thermal fluctuations ideas, not completely. It is misleading, but now the reason why I was telling is, this has profound consequences. Okay. Now, let me take this and then analyze this problem by changing the potential. This is some effective potential. In fact, if you look at this log of f, it will start looking like that. It is the hardcore repulsion and then some attraction and so on. Now, you know in classical statistical mechanics, freezing occurs. When you have a collection of atoms and let them interact through some potential, confine them in some volume, the particles repel and they attract at short distances, then at some point they can freeze. Okay? So that's a spontaneous symmetry breaking. So now that means I can use this wave function and tune the parameters in F so that I can go from liquid to solid. Because as I move up, what do? I change the density of my system and also tune some parameter in the variational wave function. So the liquid superfluid, liquid to solid transformation can be thought of as a classical liquid to crystal transformation. Now this was the point. Now comes the beautiful work from Andreev. Andreev and Lipschitz, I think. They said, suppose I have liquid solid helium 4. I have made it a crystal under pressure, and then there is a lot of quantum fluctuations. Then we know that if you take a crystal like sodium chloride, at finite temperature, because of thermal fluctuations, there will be spontaneous vacancies. Some atoms will move out of their home place and running around. So there will be a finite density of vacancies. You must have done it in your statistical mechanics calculation. So Lipschitz and Andreev argued that if I am somewhere here, quantum fluctuations, which behaves like thermal fluctuation, should create some ground state vacancies in my solid. So this is unlike sodium chloride or diamond, where in the ground state there are no vacancies, no interstitials. Here the quantum fluctuations are extremely strong and they create interstitials and vacancies. Now, a vacancy in a Bose solid is likely to be a boson, right? Because I have a missing boson, so it should be a boson. So Andreev and Lipschitz conjectured that if you were somewhere here, this will be a super solid in the sense the vacancies will undergo bosons in condensation. And then it will be an unusual solid which has a long range order in the sense of crystalline entity and also a soft condensate of vacancies. So this is called super solid. So in fact, this became very exciting because of some experiments from Moses Chan about 10, 15 years ago. And then there are lots of issues about the experiments, but still it's, in my mind, a very active field. It's not explored completely. So now let me come. So I started with free Bose gas. Good. Then I wanted to introduce phenomenologically a variational approach for free Bose gas. I said that I will input in the wave function just two particle correlation, two particle effect, something like which says that when particles are farther apart, there is no change in wave function. When they come close by, the wave function tend to vanish just to minimize the potential energy. So I'll have to have smooth so that I minimize the kinetic energy also. So I can't do abruptly changes. So I take care of all those things. Then I find an analogy with classical mechanics where this variational wave function, depending on the parameters, can describe a crystal as well as a liquid. Then the crystal is supposed to be a crystal at finite temperature, which will have its own defects, thermally produced defects and dislocations. And that's what Andreev and Lipschitz noted. And they said that the solid here will be very unusual. They call it a super solid. So there's a very active field, which was active, now it's kind of gone down because of these experimental complications. Now, Leggett wrote a very influential paper in 1991. Tony Leggett, Nobel laureate, who comes to Waterloo regularly. I do not know if he has been coming in the last few years. He comes to IQC. So he got Nobel Prize for his theory of liquid helium 3 superfluidity and so on. So he asked the question, suppose there is a super solid. So now I'm doing all these things without doing much mathematics because that's the power of this kind of variational approaches. So I have told you what he described it, vacancies, the vacancies. So he said, you introduce the notion of non-classical moment of energy. Suppose I take a solid like sodium crystal, sodium chloride crystal, then when I rotate it, every atom will move together. So I will find some moment of inertia. He said, if there are 0 point vacancies and if they undergo Bose-Einstein condensation, when I rotate a crystal, helium solid superfluid crystal, there will be non-classical moment of inertia. There will be some correction because some part of it will slip and it will behave like a super, it will not rotate when I rotate the body. So he introduced the notion of non-classical moment of inertia, very physical. I encourage you to look at the paper by Leggett, PRL. By the way, I should also, very important work by Chester. Chester rationalized whatever Andre Lipschitz said in terms of variational wave function. Yes?
I'm just really not quite sure how to picture the super solid. I was just reading on Wikipedia and it said, yes, the state of matter, you know, it forms an ordered structure, but it also flows with the superfluid property.
Yeah. How do I?
So how is it a rigid structure that also flows?
Correct. So imagine I have solid helium 4 and I create a vacancy. I remove by hand one atom. Then what will happen? The neighboring atom will tunnel, quantum mechanically tunnel and occupy that space. So this is called vacancy motion. So what Andreev and Lipschitz did was, they found the dynamics of this quantum vacancy because they undergo quantum tunneling. They found that it forms a band with some effective mass, which is very high. It's slightly more than the effective mass of helium atom. So a vacancy motion can be thought of as a motion of a particle. Now this is a boson, because since I have bosons everywhere in the background, the missing boson is a boson, like a hole, which is an electron in a band theory. So what did Lipschitz and Andreev and Lipschitz said that there will be maybe about 0.2% of vacancies, and they will be far apart and they will undergo Bose condensation. They will go into zero momentum state. So you can write down a wave function for it. That's what you know. So that now if I take this solid and then start doing some torsional oscillation, the part of the atoms which are stuck in the periodic lattice, they alone will rotate. Imagine that when I create a vacancy in an interstitial, the interstitials move to the surface. That happens. In other words, the super solid expands because of large 0 point vibration in spite of a pressure and accommodates a finite density of vacancies. That's an important point. So for example, if you take sodium chloride and heat it, there will be interstitials and vacancies. And if you wait for long enough, interstitials. Sorry. Suppose I take a square lattice. Then I remove this. This is a vacancy. Now I can put it somewhere here. That's called interstitial. Sorry for my bad accent. Is that clear? Interstitial.
Okay. I'd never heard the word so.
In solid state physics, so when you, like sodium chloride, occasionally you will find a missing chlorine atom. Occasionally you will find somewhere else a chlorine atom somewhere in the space. So now when you allow them, the interstitial, to move, they move to the surface and they amount the expansion of the solid. So there is something called 0 point vacancy. So because of the 0 point fluctuation, the solid accommodates a small density of vacancies. And these vacancies quantum delocalize and various things happen. Okay.
And that's what we mean with flow, that this expansion.
Yeah, small expansion. And then if you rotate the solid, you will not find the moment of inertia that you expected. There will be a correction to it. That correction will be the superfluid which slips from rotation. That's called non-classical moment of inertia. This was a suggestion made by Leggett in 1991, and Moses Chan from Penn State claimed to see non-classical moment of inertia when he did a torsional oscillation of solid helium-4 at low temperature, below about 0.2 Kelvin. So that was a sensational news, saying that supersolid has been discovered. Then there are lots of claims that it is not true, and it's a controversial thing. But like in many things in condensed matter physics, nature is a final answer, and you know, more people are doing experiments. I, for one, believe that supersolid exists. But you know, it's a final answer comes from nature and experiments. So let me tell you the motive. So I started with 4F boson chain gas, which has enough quantum fluctuation. Then I introduced interaction among atoms. The quantum fluctuation survive in a beautiful form. Now the interaction is such that they even crystallize, but still quantum fluctuations create some zero-point vacancies. They can undergo boson-Einstein condensation and lead to this profound thing. Now, you know, all these things have ulterior motives in terms of quantum computation, because some of these ideas can be used for as qubits. So people are worrying about it from that point of view also. Okay. So let me see where I am. Oh. So I have showed you an approach in which interacting bosons can be treated within a variational approach, the way that I have said. Now, is there any better way to treat this? Suppose I have a weakly interacting. That's where the Bogoliubov theory comes. How many of you have heard Bogoliubov theory of weakly interacting bosons? You have not. Okay. So that means I should do it. What do you suggest? Do I do it in the next class?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, so in fact, that is a beautiful derivation, simple many-body theory using some Hartree-Fock decoupling and getting very profound results, like BCS theory. In fact, Bogoliubov theory predates BCS theory in terms of many-body theory for superfluidity. BCS theory is the superfluidity of Cooper pairs, here is the superfluidity of helium-4 atoms. It's a very pretty theory, lots of insights can be obtained from that. So I will do it in detail in the next class. So before that, let me summarize. So this part is something I have already discussed. Now, this became more important in the recent time because helium-4 is the only superfluid liquid that nature provides us. But you can go to cold atom lab, and now they have produced any number of boson-Einstein condensates. What do? They take atoms in vacuum. And normally, the atoms are moving, so slow them down. So let them lose their kinetic energy by various means, by Doppler effect. And so they shine appropriate light and guide the atoms and make them slow down. They are so slow, the temperature is nanokelvin or even lower. So you're able to have millions of atoms in a small volume trapped. How do you trap them? Trap them using light, because these atoms respond to light. So they are. The light produces some trapping potential, and you have a gas of dilute gas of boson-Einstein, boson atoms. Now here they are bosons because the electron spins and nuclear spin combine to give a boson situation. I will discuss it in detail later. And they undergo Bose condensation, they undergo Josephson oscillations, and all kinds of things. Ketterly got Nobel Prize and others. So these are all no more theoretical idealization, they have relevance in experiments. So there's many labs all over the world. So this is related to matter wave interferometry. That is, what you create is, you create a quantum wave of matter with macroscopic occupancy, and you can play with them, and they are believed to be useful in detecting gravitational waves. In fact, one of you, I do not know, was interested in it. In gravitational wave detection, boson-Einstein condensates can be used, and helium-4 can be used. So all kinds of beautiful things are hidden behind this simple formula, and many of these things can be explained without not departing from free Bose gas or with some kind of Jastrow modification. So beautiful physics is hidden there. So let me stop here today, and next time I will do for half the class Bogoliubov theory in some detail, and then about quantized vertices and so on. So please, you know, I am in room number 223. If you have any questions, please drop by and ask me. I know that I am doing a random walk. It's called a quantum random walk. But hopefully, there will be some coherence at the end of the day.
read about the derivatives, like the computations that we didn't do in detail, should we use, like try to read the lecture notes that you talked about yesterday?
Correct. So what I will do is, for all these things, there are beautiful lecture notes available in the web. So I will give you some. Suppose you want to do computation with this, I will give reference of Chester's paper and later paper. And there are some beautiful papers of Leggett. So literature is full, yeah, a lot of information is available. So I have sketched you, for example, for this E8, I didn't even sketch it. I just wrote down the E8, then told you that there are very beautiful things. There are already two papers put in the website. And so similarly, we will put papers for this. And by the way, if you want me to change my style, I will try to do it. So if you want me to derive systematically, I will try to do that also. Please feel free to tell me. Thank you.